folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I am your host, Maggie Hart. Very excited to be here again this week to share some knowledge, spread some love, and just enjoy your company like we would in the comfort of our living room over a cup of coffee. And tonight I'd like to talk to you about memories. Ones that we've had, ones that we've mutually shared, and the fact that a lot of people are losing their memories. And it's very troublesome to me. We've talked about it before on the show, but there are some things that have happened recently in my life that have absolutely brought it to the forefront of my thought processes. And I've been doing a lot of research as to why, myself included at times, but loved ones and people that I know, family members and general acquaintances, friends, all seem to be having issues with memory. With all those pictures hanging side by side, forgotten memories from another time, and all the places that I've been before, couple magnets, recipes, and Polaroids. So Luke Combs sings about, with all those things hanging side by side, forgotten memories from another time, and all the places that I've been before, couple magnets, recipes, and Polaroids. Yeah, but that's my life on the refrigerator door. So he's reminiscing and singing about his memories, and this song reminds me of a situation I'm going through with my family right now, who's having some short-term memory issues. And it may be early onset dementia. It may be Alzheimer's. It may be something called, it's a swelling on the brain where, you know, you can put a tube in and drain the pressure on the brain and it filters out through the body. And it's a hydrocephalus. It could be that. My instinct tells me it's early onset dementia, but irregardless of what it is, this song reminds me of that situation because my family member will look at things and look at pictures and have memories and vivid memories, but sometimes the memories that are vivid aren't real. They're either partially real or they're invented memories based on a picture. They'll look at the picture and think that it was a memory that they were involved in. However, they weren't anywhere near that place at that time. Or they'll look at a picture and remember a memory that just, it was totally different than the way that they remember it, or they weren't there, as I said earlier. So We're seeing, at least I'm seeing, on a broad scale, a lot of people that seem to be being diagnosed with early onset dementia, particularly Alzheimer's, and some very severe debilitating memory diseases, also Parkinson's. I'm of the belief that a lot of the reason we're seeing a rise in this type of diagnoses is because of the chemicals in the foods, the injections, and also chemtrails. I think it's kind of a grand slam hat trick thing. I think it's a culmination and a combination of these three things that are all working in conjunction, as it were, to disparage the physical body and to destroy parts of the physical body. Also, what I'm seeing is just on a very basic level, people that particularly have not taken the jab are having issues, severe issues, some of them, with short-term memory loss. In some cases, long-term memory loss, but for the most part, short-term memory loss. And at times, that even includes me, as I said. And I have theories about that, too. GMOs in the food. Some of these guys have taken vaccinations. The chemicals that are being sprayed in the sky. the chemicals that are being sprayed on our foods, what we're ingesting into our bodies. But we can't control what's being sprayed upon us, right? So there's the portion that are being diagnosed with these serious illnesses that are, they're very obviously debilitating, and these people are not getting any better. If anything, they're going into a pretty rapid tailspin, and they're getting worse. And then we have, I'll call them the majority of the normal people that I know that haven't taken the jab, may have taken a flu shot here or there, but other than that, or maybe on prescription medications because their doctor has prescribed them, which also is part of the problem, could be part of the problem, with side effects of some of these medications being short-term memory loss. And then there's the third group that have taken the jab, not just a flu shot or a tetanus shot. And I have been suspicious for a really long time of any injection or any prescription medication in general, because we really don't know what they're putting in those things as well. And it's my belief that not enough people have taken the jab to satisfy them. So it could be possible that they're putting some of the stuff from the COVID vaccines into the other injections or prescription medications. But the people who have taken the COVID vaccine and the subsequent boosters are the third group that really seem to be off the rails in not only their memory, but as I've spoken about before on previous shows, their demeanor in general, their behaviors in general. They're almost rabid at times. And so I'd like to discuss those three different types of people. I'm really interested to know what all of you out there are experiencing in your own personal lives. And then in the second half, we can talk about some holistic ways to thwart that and some things that we can do to not allow these things into our bodies. And basically be as proactive as we can to stay as healthy as we are able to. I'd like to start by playing a couple of clips that I got off of Instagram regarding Bragg's apple cider vinegar. Now, that has been my go-to for years, organic apple cider vinegar, and I've always loved Bragg's. But what I recently found out is that Katy Perry and her husband purchased the company, and they're using Bill Gates fake apples, A-peel apples. Let's listen to a couple of those clips. Also, I got an education as to what is really organic cider vinegar. I think you'll find this interesting as well, because this is not something that I was aware of as I consumed what I thought was organic apple cider vinegar all these years.
Now, I hate to break this to you, but that mother in the apple cider vinegar in the bottom of the bottle is not what you think. What you've been told, it's a special mixture of friendly bacteria and maybe certain enzymes that are going to help you. Well, what they didn't tell you is this. You can't see friendly bacteria. You can't see enzymes. What that sediment really is at the bottom of the bottle, it's unfiltered fiber. Many companies that have the so-called mother actually heat their apple cider vinegar. They use high pressure, and both heat and high pressure destroy those enzymes and friendly bacteria. So the secret of having the true mother in an apple cider vinegar bottle is finding a company that sells raw apple cider vinegar that doesn't use high pressures. And the one that I like the best is called Fairchild's, not Bragg's, but Fairchild's apple cider vinegar.
How did I totally miss that this Bragg's apple cider vinegar was purchased by Katy Perry and her husband? And they are teamed up now with Bill Gates? So yeah, Katy Perry, Orlando Bloom, by Bragg's back in 2019. So, this happened. Now, what I'm about to show you next is actually the bad part, okay? This wasn't so bad, but who Katy Perry is doing business with. Now, y'all be the judge of this. So you got Katy Perry and her husband, Orlando Bloom, using Bill Gates' Appeal apples to make Bragg's apple cider vinegar. Yeah, that's correct. You heard it correctly. Now, let me tell you about it. Appeal Bragg's. It's about the use of the monoglycerides and the digoglycerides. I might have butchered that. But these additives are byproducts of oil processing, including partially hydrogenated canola, and soybean oils, which contain artificial trans fats and dangerous food ingredients known to cause coronary heart disease and linked to 50,000 other fatal...
Okay, the first clip doesn't give a source, but it was posted by Sunshine Amid Chaos. So I can't credit the original source and thank them for the information. The second was posted by Done Napping 2. And again, I'm not sure where that originated from, but that's who posted it. But there's just one little glimpse into how we're trying to stay healthy and we're trying to eat the right foods and do the right things. And apple cider vinegar is such an amazing supplement to our diets when it's pure. But this is one way that we're being misled. The reason that I'm bringing this up now, and we'll talk about this more in the second half, is that my family member who's struggling with the early onset dementia, Alzheimer's thing, is actively taking vitamin supplements and things like the apple cider vinegar in an effort to stay healthy. A lot of this started when COVID came out. The mindset there was that if I can strengthen and take care of my body with natural supplements as much as possible, my body will be more naturally immune to the COVID. My family member was absolutely against the jab, has not taken the jab. So doing what they thought was the right thing actually could be something that is not. Because the stuff that we're told is pure and is good for us really isn't. So we have to do our research. We always have to be on our toes. And in the second half, I'll go over some companies that have actually sold out that were well known for being organic or wholesome companies, non-GMO companies, but they've sold out to the big companies. And so therefore, we really can't trust buying their products anymore. And aside from that, now we're, if we buy those products, supporting the big box companies that we're trying to boycott as much as possible. At least I am. And I think that it's a good idea that we all do, so that we make it known with our dollars that we're not going to support your products if you've got toxins and poisons in them. But anyway, so my family member's been trying to do the right thing with this. And I have to be honest, because it's a single family member who lives by themselves. They aren't the greatest with diet. They eat a lot of fresh vegetables and fruit and salads and things like that. But there is some prepackaged, pre-made food in their regular course of their diet, which I believe has been absolutely a factor in some of the issues that are going on with the brain. Also, shedding, I think, is a factor with that family member. That's not something that I talked about in the introduction, although you've heard me talk about it before lots of times on shows. This person worked very closely for a couple of years in very close proximity with people who had taken the jab, and I believe that they absolutely were a victim of shedding, i.e. the things that were shedding off of the people that had gotten jabbed were attaching to their bodies and getting inside somehow. So there's that. So foods is a big one. not even just taking the jab, but being in close proximity to people who have shed it. And that's not even in a work environment. I mean, that's like anywhere you go, the bank, the grocery store, the pharmacy, anywhere that you go, when you're coming into contact with people who have been vaccinated, you're open and prone to shedding. So that's another reason I think that we have the situation that we're investigating here to find out what's truly going on. But unquestionably, there's a rise in particularly Alzheimer's patients, and due to all of these factors that we're talking about, is my belief. It's just like with the children who have been vaccinated and over-vaccinated, and all of a sudden we have an explosion in the autism rates. It's the same type principle here with our middle-aged and not even elderly. We're seeing cases of this like in late 40s, early 50s, folks, of people being diagnosed or having symptoms of Alzheimer's and dementia. Are you kidding me? That's unheard of previously. It's unprecedented. Now let's talk about the average people, the normal people like us. You know, those of us from my generation who ran around skateboarding without helmets, bicycling without helmets, jumping off of cliffs into water, riding in the backs of pickup trucks without any form of seat belts or anything like that, and, you know, eating lead paint and all the crazy things that we drink it from a hose, all those nutty things we did as a kid. My generation and the generation right before that, and the generation right after mine. So in my age group, I'm going to say, let's say from 40 to 65, 70. Let's just do that 30-year span. You know what? Let's push it out to 75 so we can include my dad in that, because I want to talk about him too. But people that I hang out with, my family members and my friends who are in that age range primarily, all seem to be having issues with short-term memory. That never had issues before with short-term memory. Yes, some of them are having long-term memory issues as well, but it's mostly short-term memory issues. And I've noticed a drastic increase in this, to where it's on a daily occasion. There's not a single day that goes by. And I'm sometimes home all day long, so I don't get out much some days. Sometimes for several days, I'm working from home, I'm doing things at home. But irregardless of that fact, I'm still talking to people on the phone, my friends, my family members, and even just people that I speak to that I know haven't gotten the jab, you know, people in radio, people that I'm interviewing, whatever. And we're all around the same age group, and we're all having issues with short-term memory. However, I have noticed it a lot more in other people than myself. And I think part of the reason for that is because I've been in some relative seclusion for so long and I don't go out a lot. And when I do, I try and stay away from, as a general rule, big crowds. I did go see a show a couple weeks ago, but for the most part, I stay away from big crowds. And I'm not coming into direct contact, unless it's family, with anybody else very much. So what's going on with that? Well, every single one of us has been outside for between a half hour or more a day. So my family, my parents, for instance, they go out twice a day, they feed their animals, and then unless they're doing yard work, they're inside a lot of the time. They don't go out a whole lot. They don't like the heat. I notice issues with them. I notice myself, who I'll go out and do some gardening or some yard work or work in the garden, and I'm outside anywhere between a half hour and, well, lately, 4 to 5 to 7 hours a day, depending on what I'm doing. If I'm cleaning up the yard, you know, whatever, walking, playing with the animals. And then I have other family that's outside from the time they get up until the time they go to bed. And then I have others that are out there conservatively between a half hour and, let's say, 3 hours a day doing chores outside, garden work, things like that. That's what I think the biggest thing is, because most of us eat pretty clean. We don't eat a lot of GMO foods. We don't eat any or very little packaged or prepackaged foods. We don't get takeout. We don't go out to eat a lot at restaurants. The only thing that's different in that group of people is the fact that when warm weather hit, we've been outside, and I'm noticing a huge difference from winter, when we were all cooped up in the house, through spring. I started to notice it a little in spring, but definitely throughout the course of the summer, the fact that everybody's struggling with the short-term memory stuff. Now, we all eat as healthy as we can and as clean as we can, but we don't, all of us, people in my circle, eat organic. I eat as organic as I can, as much as I can. But a lot of my family and friends will go to the grocery store, and even though they ingest a ton of fresh vegetables and fruits from farmers markets and things they've grown in their garden, their gardens may not have initially been non-GMO, and they may use not like poison chemicals, but they may use some sprays on their foods to kill bugs. But mostly it's non-GMO sprays, okay? So, but they might raise their own vegetables. It's just not non-GMO. Or they may go to the grocery store and instead of buying organic bananas, buy regular Chiquita bananas or Dole bananas, or pick up sun-kissed oranges, or, you know, just it's not totally organic. So there's a percentage of my circle that are eating foods that they think are healthy for them, but maybe not be as healthy as they think they are. However, they're still a level above the people that are eating the GMO foods as far as the boxed foods and the prepackaged mixes and going out and eating a lot of fast food. So they're trying, but they're not doing as well of a job as they could. And that's their free will choice, and that's okay. But I've noticed that those people, the people that are eating more of that stuff, GMO maybe produce, you know, just store-bought produce and vegetables, they're suffering more with the memory issues than those of us that eat as cleanly as we can at all times. So I think that's a factor. Another thing that I've noticed is out of my circle, there are some of them that live in a city. And so as cleanly as they try and eat and as organically as they try and eat for the most part, they're still getting the chlorinated poison water from the cities. When I go back to my home, I should say my other home, which is in New York, that's on a city water system. And the first thing I notice coming from natural spring well water with a 7.2 rating to that is I can immediately smell the bleach and the chlorine smell when I turn on the tap. And what I've noticed is I've had my house for like, let's say 15 years. The last 6 or so months, the bleach smell is absolutely overwhelming when I turn the tap on and when I flush the toilet. When I flush the toilet in my bathroom, the smell of bleach is so bad, and I'm sensitive to chlorine and bleach products. It's so bad that it literally fills the entire bathroom, and I have to leave the door open, put the fan on, just to be able to breathe properly after I flush the toilet and then wash my hands. Let's talk about cleaning your toilet, right? I used to scrub my toilet all the time. I still clean my toilet, but with the uptick in the chlorine that they're putting in the water system, my toilet bowl at that house is white. I barely have to scrub it. I don't even have to scrub it. All I have to do is wipe the bowl and the rim, and the toilet stays clean. The bowl used to have to be scrubbed out like once a week. I don't even have to touch it anymore. There's so much bleach in there that it stays sparkling clean all the time. Same with my sinks. It's amazing in a bad way. The thing that really bothers me, because I don't drink that water, so I have filtration systems and I'm very careful and I drink only spring water, or I'm very careful about the purification system that I use in the water that I cook with, as well as what I put in my coffee maker, because a lot of people don't realize the coffee maker doesn't kill all of that stuff and it doesn't get all of that stuff out there. So I filter water and then I put that into my coffee pot. And when I'm using it to cook, I use the filtered water. But some people may not recognize that. You should still be using filtered water, even if you're using a coffee pot or if you're putting something in on the stove to cook with, because you're not guaranteed that it's going to get all of that out there. So I do all of that. But guess what? I've got to take a shower there. And I don't have a filtration system on my shower head. So as far as I'm concerned, I think that the issues that I'm having, because my diet hasn't changed at all and I'm still eating non-GMO and totally organic produce and fruits. And the meat that I buy is non-GMO, totally organic. So I know it's not what I'm putting into my system, but what's outside in the air that I'm breathing and the showers that I'm taking, what's going into my body from the showers that I'm taking? How much of that is going into my skin, in through my cellular structure? I think that's what my issue is. And I'm going to look into a filtration system for my shower. But other than that, what about all these people that are eating as clean as they can, but they're taking showers with fluoridated, chlorinated water? And that's the other thing, fluoride. Fluoride in the water is super bad. So you shouldn't be drinking tap water at all for any reason. You should have a good filtration system on the water that you're using to drink, to cook with, and in my case now to shower with too. I mean, we gotta protect ourselves as much as we can. I've been using non-fluoride toothpaste for years, and I'm slowly getting my family members and loved ones to switch off of the Colgate, the Crest, the Aim, the toothpaste with fluoride in it. Even Tom's of Maine has a fluoride product. And oh boy, we're going to talk about Tom's of Maine later in the show, because that used to be my favorite product until I found out that they were bought out by a big box company. So those are things that I realize, that I don't have much control over the air that I breathe outside. So I've done what I have to do outside. I do what I need to do outside, and then I come back inside. I've been actually limiting my outside time when I don't have to be out there, if that makes sense. So when I don't have to do yard work, I'm inside, which kind of sucks because it's summer and I want to enjoy the sunshine, and we need that vitamin D in our system. We need the sunshine to be able to stay healthy. But I've been limiting my time outside. So the other thing is I'm looking into something for my shower to be able to purify my shower water, because I think those are my issues. Also, I became aware of the toxins in things like shampoos and body washes and mouthwashes and makeups and all of those things. Deodorants, cleaning products, candles, all of that stuff. You should be looking at the labels. And if it's not 100% pure and organic, you shouldn't be using it on your body or minimalizing the use of chemicals and products as much as possible. And that's something that I'm working on changing as well, because even though I use mostly organic household cleaning products and I make my own in a lot of cases, things like makeup are something that can be affecting me. And the shampoos and conditioners and body washes, we have to be so careful because of the toxins and poisons that are in those products as well. Stuff that we would never think of before. We have to be proactive and protect ourselves as much as possible. by not using things that could be harmful to us and could be attributing to things like short-term memory loss. So we're working on that as a whole. We're talking to each other. We're sharing products. We're doing research. We're looking at things that work well for us, you know, a shampoo we like or a deodorant that we like. And we're just kind of comparing notes and doing shopping and working on that as a whole. The third group, those of my close friends and family members who have actively participated in getting the COVID vaccination and the boosters, I'm seeing a really radical change with them, other than the Alzheimer's group, most notably and most especially with this group. And it's not just short-term memory, it is long-term memory. I've spoken on my show before about the doctor in Germany who's done studies about people who have taken the jab losing their long-term memory and also their empathetic qualities. I have one friend that I'll give you a short story about. We've been friends for probably 20 years. And what I've noticed in the last year especially is that her short-term memory is totally gone. And for whatever reason, she doesn't like to talk on the phone anymore. And that's one thing that I've noticed in general too, is nobody wants to talk on the phone anymore. They just want to text. And so her texts are very discombobulated. And when I answer her with a definitive yes or no, she'll ask me the same question again. So for instance, we had made plans one day to go somewhere. And she wanted me to come over to her house to do some healing work for her daughter, who I've done healing work for before. I've known the kids since she was like 12 years old. I talked about her on a previous show, in fact. And so we had plans for me to go over there and visit, have a cup of coffee, and do some healing work on her daughter. Well, something came up, and it had to do with my family member who's having issues. So I had to cancel. And so I texted her the day before, and I said, look, I'm not going to be able to make it tomorrow. Something came up. It's kind of an emergency situation. I need to be here. And so I'm not able to go over to your house and work on healing your daughter. So what I told her was I could come Wednesday or Thursday, but I wasn't able to come the next day because I was going to be busy all day long and part of the day after that. So Monday, all day busy, Tuesday, part of the day busy, but I could come Wednesday or Thursday. So from the text, she just wasn't getting it. And she got really pushy. And irregardless of what I was going through, she was just like, well, I can't do it Wednesday. I'm busy Wednesday, and I don't know what's going on Thursday. And she's just texting me like crazy and just getting increasingly more agitated at the fact that I had to cancel our appointment. But it was for a very good and a very important reason. It was because I had to take care of my family and do something really important there. I basically had to put out some fires, and it wasn't to be avoided. So she just wasn't getting it by text, so I called her and I said, listen, I'm on the other line right now doing something for my family. It's really important. I explained the outline of the situation, and I said, I can't talk to you now. I've got the other line on hold, and I don't want to miss this phone call, so you know, I can come Wednesday or Thursday, just figure it out. Let me know what's better for you and text me back. Gotta go. Bye. I was talking quickly, but I wasn't nasty. I wasn't being sarcastic. Well, for whatever reason, she took that entirely the wrong way. In her mind, because A, I wasn't doing what she wanted me to do when she wanted me to do it, which, oh, by the way, this was a free healing session, which had I charged would have run over $300 if I spent the same amount of time that I had spent the first section. that I had done non gratis, and I'd already purchased over $45 in natural essential oils, in addition to me doing a free 3.5 hour healing and giving that to them the first time and didn't ask for anything because we're friends. That's what friends do, right? So I knew it was going to be another 2 to 3 hour session, and I wasn't asking for any money, but I was in a situation where I had to simply reschedule. It wasn't that I didn't want to do it. It's just that I had to reschedule. And she texted me back, "Well, I've never been spoken to that way. I don't like being spoken to that way." And I'm scratching my head going, "What are you talking about? All I told you was that I couldn't do it that day. I had another line going. I didn't want to miss the call. It was really important. Figure it out, which day is better, and just text me back and let me know, and I would be happy to accommodate." That was the last time I've heard from her. And historically, over the past 6 months, this has been the scenario. We'll talk about doing something, or we'll do something, and I'll say something in a text, which you can't get somebody's expression or inflection from a text, which is why, in most cases, I prefer to make a phone call if I can't be looking at that person so that they can see my facial expressions, my tone of voice, or at least on the phone, they can hear my tone of voice and recognize the fact that I'm not being toxic, I'm just busy. But repeatedly, over and over, she's become increasingly sensitive. And I hate to use the word paranoid, but paranoid that I'm out to get her or I'm out to harm her or whatever. It's just very bizarre. And in addition to that, the short-term memory, forget about it. We'll text on a Monday and I'll say, "I'll meet you for coffee tomorrow at noon." And she'll text me that night before she goes to bed. And then she'll text me in the morning, "Are we still meeting? Are we still good? What time did you want to meet?" As though we never had the conversation the night before. And not for anything, but I've been in some pretty big corporations in my life, and I've been in charge of 14 to 20 people. I don't need to confirm an appointment 5 times for a cup of coffee in 24 hours. It's just overkill to me. If I say I'm going to be there, you can touch base with me, but chances are I'm going to be there. I very rarely miss an appointment or skip an appointment. And if I do, you'll get a heads up. And she knows that. It was just so bizarre. And she took it as a personal affront, like I wasn't willing to help her daughter, which she knows me, and she knows that's not the case, but that's the way her mind is working lately. I've seen a lot of that. I've seen a lot of forgetfulness, and that I've seen if you don't do what they want, when they want to do it, in the way, shape, and form that they want it done, they turn rabid. And then they just cut you off. They go cold. I don't know if anybody else is experiencing this, but boy, oh boy, is it challenging. Especially when it's somebody that's family or you've been friends with for years and you see this rapid degradation of their personality. This is someone that was normally very sweet and kind and empathetic and normal. It's troublesome to see. Let's take a break and we'll talk about some ways to fix this after the break. You're listening to me on one of three radio stations. We're all listener funded. We are totally dependent on your donations. Please, please get in touch with the owner, make a donation, whether it be 5 cents or $5 or $50, whatever you can do. And if you want to be a superstar and have your own business and want to sponsor a spot on our network, whether it be on my show or any other, please contact the owner. And if you don't have a commercial, I'm sure that the owner and the producer would be happy to make something up for you because it's so mutually beneficial to be able to promote your business and support us at the same time. My songs and music tonight are from my good buddy, Pat Carr. He does my entry and exit music. I love him. Please support him at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Please get a hold of him, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you. We'll be back right after this. Gonna buy
my radio station. Play a little music on the air. Spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna go out walking in the world. Breathe a little clean, fresh air. Find a place to offer up a silent prayer. All those years I spent in lonely isolation, claiming I had no regrets for the things I'd done. Filled my mind, drained my body, stained my soul, but now I'm fine, 'cause I know that my Lord has made me whole. I'm gonna buy a radio station, play a little music on the air, spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna do some talking about Jesus, telling everybody everywhere to turn the people on to the love that's there.
And we're back. Thank you for joining me for the second half of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart. And we're talking today about memory loss and what is the cause of the recent rise in things like memory loss and Alzheimer's, short-term memory problems, dementia, and different classes of people that I've noticed that are having these issues and what we can do to help protect ourselves. When we try and eat cleanly, natural flavors is something that we see on labels. And as this lady in the clip will tell you, even though it says natural flavors, it's something to be avoided. Let's listen.
Have again with natural flavors is I go back to that like hijacking of your body. It's literally hijacking your taste buds. It's putting a chemicalized flavor that was created in a laboratory to create the best 1 millionth part of a taste into your body. And so that when you eat that processed food, you can't stop. You want more and you want more and you don't want to stop. And that's, for me, that's a problem because like, I don't want to ever be on someone else's hamster wheel, like just consuming stuff because I'm being tricked.
So that was the food babe. And I caught her on Instagram. She's pretty knowledgeable. I like her stuff. Girls Who Eat made a post about fruits and vegetables with the most amount of pesticides, you should try to buy organic. Strawberries, spinach, grapes, peaches, nectarines, kale collard and mustard greens, apples, bell and hot peppers, cherries, blueberries, green beans, and pears. So those you want to try and buy organic because they contain the most amount of pesticides. And the cleaner ones, 15 fruits and vegetables with the least amount of pesticides, you can buy conventional over organic, according to her, are asparagus, avocados, watermelon, cabbage, carrots, pineapple, mangoes, honeydew melon, kiwi, mushrooms, onions, papaya, sweet potatoes, sweet corn, and sweet peas that are frozen. So that'll help you when you're shopping to try and stay as clean as possible. To really be careful even with the produce that we buy and the packaging. Post Climate and Washington Post both shared a story. Post Climate researchers from Switzerland and other countries discovered that of the roughly 14,000 known chemicals in food packaging, 3,601, or about 25%, have been found in the human body, whether in samples of blood, hair, or breast milk. Those chemicals include metals, volatile organic compounds, per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, or PFAs, phthalates, and many others known to disrupt the endocrine system and cause cancer or other diseases. The study, published in the Journal of Exposure Science and Environmental Epidemiology, didn't directly examine the link to these illnesses, but the researchers say their inventory of chemicals can help future research into health risks. We don't think about how the mostly plastic packaging adds chemicals to our food, but it's an important source of human exposures. R. Thomas Zeller, an emeritus professor of biology at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, who was not involved in the research, said in an email, "This is an early indication that harmful chemicals, largely unregulated, are making it into the human population." So we need to be careful of the packaging on our foods as well. And just as an aside, bottled water, even though we think it's great to drink, my favorite being Poland Spring, the plastic that the bottles are made of, we need to make sure that that is BPA-free when we're buying bottled drinking water, or use the glass bottles and check those as well. Make sure you always check to where your water source is coming from and make sure that it's pure and not purified water as well. EWG Verified put out their Dirty Dozen Guide to Food Chemicals, the top 12 to avoid: aspartame, azodicarbonamide, BHA, BHT, methylene chloride, trichloroethylene and ethylene dichloride, potassium bromate, propyl gallate, propyl paraben, the artificial dyes like red 3, red 40, yellow 5, yellow 6, blue 1, blue 2, and green 3, sodium benzoate, sodium nitrate, and titanium dioxide. Titanium dioxide, I know for one, stands out for me because that's in a lot of makeups and products that we use on our skin. So again, check your ingredients on the labels of things that you're using in body washes, deodorants, shampoos, conditioners, all of that. We should be using totally organic everything, including our cleaning chemicals. Make your own, research that. It's really easy and fun to do. I love making my own cleaning chemicals and my own body products and skin products as well when I'm able. This one was an eye-opener for me. You may have seen these articles already, but 23 natural health companies that sold out to large corporations. Burt's Bees, Seventh Generation. I used to use some of their cleaning products. Tom's of Maine, I told you earlier, that used to be my favorite toothpaste. Ecover, Native. Native made an awesome deodorant that they're now sold out to Procter & Gamble. This is Elle, Schmidt's Naturals, Nutrinext, Renew Life, The Laundress, Cascadian Farm, I used to buy their cereals, Cashy, used to buy their cereals, Boca Foods, Light Life Foods, Odawalla, Vans Natural Foods, Naked Juice, The Body Shop, I used to shop there, energy brands like Glasso, Blake's All Natural Foods, Foods Should Taste Good, Honest Tea, and Annie's All Natural Foods. I used to love Annie's for my kid to make the Annie's Bunny Mac and Cheese. The article, you can Google it, will tell you who they were sold out to, but companies like Unilever, Clorox, Kellogg's, Kraft, ConAgra, Coca-Cola, General Mills. So yeah, don't buy their stuff anymore. Because you can't be assured that they're pure and natural anymore. They sold out to big box companies. Do we really trust them? No, we don't. And we want to boycott them as much as possible and support local merchants. Support veteran-owned groups that are natural and totally organic. Make your own products as much as possible. Support the people at the farmers markets that are making these natural products for your enjoyment and for your personal good health. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit now about herbs. But before I do that, let me just step back and revisit some other hidden preservatives I forgot to mention earlier. MSG is a huge one. And the partially hydrogenated oils, and just oils in general, be really careful. I use coconut oil or olive oil, as pure olive oil, virgin olive oil, as much as possible, not the olive oil mixes. So, herbs. There are some herbs out there that are great for memory, and some supplements as well. Milky oats and lemon balm and St. John's wort are great for mental stamina, according to Herbal Academy. Also, offers support for the nervous system. So it's great. It's very easy to grow. It grows like a weed. I take it in tea. Ginkgo biloba and lion's mane are also supposed to be great for memory. Turmeric is wonderful. Use it on everything you cook with. It's greatly beneficial for many things. Ashwagandha, ginseng, rosemary, sage. Peppermint is amazing. I've been using that for years. It's just, you take a sniff of peppermint oil, and essential oils are wonderful too, but peppermint is amazing for mental clarity and also to help with memory issues. I've recommended it for the oil to students for years. They sniff it before their tests or while they're studying for tests, and they do remarkably better after sniffing peppermint while studying. Basil is another one. Tulsi is another one. Saffron, believe it or not, is another one, which is an amazing herb to cook with and helps for mental clarity. There are so many essential oils that are beneficial. A lot of the companies have their own mental clarity blends. Do your research. But essential oils are just amazing products also to use for helping you with your short-term memory or mental clarity to get rid of the fogginess. And that's another thing that a lot of us have been complaining of, especially in the morning after they've chemtrailed, is mental fogginess and just a lethargy. So briefly, I'm going to talk about lethargy. There are some herbs for that as well. Again, we have lemon balm, ginger, mints, and lavender. So cordyceps radiola, I haven't tried that yet. Boosting our immune system is essential. Things like ginseng, echinacea, astragalus, oregano, thyme, basil or holy basil. My personal favorite, organic natural honey. Also, elderberry syrup are amazing. Collagen. Look into collagen and the effects of collagen, the benefits on the body. It's also another amazing thing to put into your stockpile for things that keep you healthy. So those are some things we can use to help with our mental clarity. We want to avoid any toxins from foods. Eat as healthy and as cleanly as possible. As far as the chemtrails and these toxins go, we need to be doing self-cleanses as much as possible, detoxes, to rid our bodies of these harmful materials, like heavy metals, for example. There was a post from Dr. Leonard Caldwell, who used to be a guest on our old network. He says heavy metals can cause a broad spectrum of brain-related diseases, including autism, Alzheimer's, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, and neurodevelopmental diseases. So that would be from the chemtrails. Monosodium glutamate can also cause Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's, and other brain ailments. Artificial sweeteners, which we haven't spent a lot of time on this evening, but those are on the list and also very dangerous, can cause several symptoms, including anxiety attacks, slurred speech, depression, and migraines. Fluoride lowers IQ levels in humans, linked to learning and memory impairment, fetal brain damage, and altered neurobehavioral function. So detox, do your defenses daily as far as herbs and supplements into your body. Don't allow poisons and toxins into your body by way of the mouth, what you're ingesting. And stay away from any kind of vaccination if you're able. I would absolutely suggest that. Research holistic cures for different ailments. Are you able to safely and with your doctor's permission eradicate some of these prescription drugs from your medicine cabinet and from your body. There are different things out there, do your research, that they say can lessen or eradicate some of the things that were put into the body from the jab. Pine needle tea, I've spoken about it before, is supposed to be a wonderful detox for that, as is star anise. Please make a star anise tea, make a pine needle tea, and consume that. Check with your doctor, but consume that if you've had the jab and even if you've been around people who shed. This has helped a lot of people who have experienced some of the side effects we've talked of earlier simply from being around people who were jabbed via the shedding. Now, we haven't spoken a lot about parasites. I have gone into that on previous shows, but I also have a sneaking suspicion that there may be things put into the chemtrails or into the foods that we eat most recently or more recently. Parasites, research about parasites, because there are people that believe that, and these are scientists, that parasites cause virtually every physiological ailment that's out there, including cancer. So that's something else that you need to do your research on. Look into the coffee cleanses and the different types of treatments for eradicating parasites. Raw pumpkin seeds, we eat those on the regular, is one thing that is great for eradicating parasites, they say. I've heard dates also works. Ivermectin, obviously, is something that's being touted to kill parasites. Whether or not that's safe and effective for you, please check with somebody and take it in small doses if you're going to take it to make sure that it doesn't react negatively with your body. But there are people that are taking that on the regular, and they're testifying that they're feeling a whole lot better. Parasitic involvement, we all have parasites in our body. But when it's something bad, mental fog, memory, confusion, depression, anxiety, these are all also symptoms of a parasitic infestation. So let's do our research on that. Most importantly, keep a positive mindset. See what you want to have happen. Thank your creator for achieving what it is that you want as though you already have it. And always see your cells and your body regenerating, healing, totally curing any ailments, totally curing and healing your memory. Always stay in a positive state as much as you can, and constantly, whenever you can, visualize your body being safe, healthy, immune to all diseases and parasites, immune to anything that's put into the sky. And we've talked about this before, but please pray over, bless your meals, order your meals, ask for your meals, and order that your meals be purified and sanctified so that as you put it into your body, the only things that stay are the things that are beneficial for your body. Anything negative is either stopped at the door or will be eradicated immediately from the body. These things are important. Pray for each other. Take care of each other. Have patience with each other. The people that are jabbed, this is only going to get worse unless they start on some sort of clearing protocol to get rid of the stuff that's in their body. So with that, thanks all for listening. Have a great night. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.